Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 20th July 2021. We shall be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So as usual, we will be having our half an hour of awareness based meditation before we commence the class. So we'll off the light, then you can proceed with your awareness based meditation. Remember the four support, relax body and mind, the first support. Whatever mind state that arise, even thought process or what, just let it be, relax into it. Then second support is to maintain awareness, just maintain awareness. Whatever happened, why? Finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. And the third support is develop the stability of this awareness nature. Maintain this awareness nature for as long as you can, silent. The moment you silent the mind, without thought, you are already aware. So no need to do anything to develop awareness. Just let things be. Relax. Let things be. Whatever arise, let it arise. Later on, through this silent observation, without activity of the thought process or thinking, you will develop a lot of understanding. You will start to understand how this thinking process come about, how it continue when you try to meditate because you have not developed the stability of it. You have not developed the training of it to be aware, to be mindful. So most of the time, this mind is heedlessly thinking, lost in thought with all the mental hindrance. Then you cannot meditate. The mind will continue that process of heedless thinking. That's why a lot of human beings find it very difficult to meditate or to even have a mind that can quiet down to develop the meditation. And the reason is, according to Lord Buddha, you lack the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Once you lack this five, the opposite mental hindrance, the opposite five, they will come and disturb you or haunt you. The Buddha call it sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor or lethargic mind, sleepy mind, then restlessness and doubt. These are the mind state that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. So if you can understand this, then the easiest way to meditate is not to do anything. The hindrance, when they arise, let it arise because you have not trained your mind, you lack the spiritual faculty. So there are two approaches to meditation. First, either you train yourself, stabilize your spiritual faculty, then develop the daily mindfulness until your mind has the spiritual faculty to allow you to be in the mindful state throughout the day. When you can be mindful in the midst of your daily life, then you can meditate. Then the spiritual faculty will help you. Because these are mind states that can allow you to have the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And this is what we are training our mundane mind to be in the meditative training. So based on this understanding, you will understand why the four support can help you develop the silent mind. You just relax into whatever mind state that arises, body and mind completely relax. Feel yourself at ease. Then no need to think, silent everything, just maintain awareness. Until the mind becomes very quiet and very still. Yeah. As you do that, the thinking mind, the mundane mind will start to slowly slow down on its own. Whatever that arises, it will cease. Whatever that arises, it will cease. So just go away. Observe it, silent. No need to follow it. Then this mind will become very quiet, very still. That's what you are developing. Train your mind to be silent, to be quiet, to experience that stillness within the silent mind. Then you will feel the inner peace, the inner calmness. Then there is an awareness nature within that is just aware. But this nature, if you cannot stabilize it, it will trigger off thinking very fast because the thinking mind is the byproduct of that true mind or the awareness nature. So meditation is to see these two minds clearly, to understand them, then understand how the thinking mind, the mundane mind that creates the thinking, the emotion, the reaction, and the mundane activity, that is the one that can cause problem when we don't understand what is going on, when we deludedly cling, grasp, and hold on to whatever it creates and tells us. So you need to have wisdom, understanding to free your mind. So this meditative training to develop the silent mind, the awareness nature, is to enable us to see things clearly as they are, so that we are not deceived by it, deluded by it, so that we won't get ourselves entangled by whatever activity or movement that it creates through sakrality or self-delusion. So with this, hopefully you can develop the understanding and proceed with the meditation accordingly. For those who already know how to meditate, you just silent everything and stay at the heart area or wherever your object of meditation is, stay there. Until this awareness nature becomes very stable, until there is little or no more move, until you can experience the stillness within, the tranquility within, the silent awareness. So when that one arises, means your mind has entered sati. When your mind enters sati, every movement from there is in sati. There is just awareness. The mind that is aware is just aware. Every moment of activity or movement, the awareness and the activity or phenomena, they move as one. Every moment of thought process also same. The awareness is there. You can be at the moment of feeling, contact, sankara activity or movement, or at the moment of arising of consciousness. When your hearing consciousness arises, it's just awake. When your thought consciousness arises, it is also just awake. Similarly, for your other senses, smell, taste, tactile. So this training is very important. Unless you can do that, you cannot understand who you are, what you are, and what is the difference between that two mind. Apart from the mundane thinking mind, do you have another mind which is just aware, silent and still, another nature within? The Sutra of Infinite Meaning comes from the homes of all Buddhas, goes to the hearts of all sentient beings, and abides wherever Bodhisattva practice. It stands great merit, nurtures all living beings. So this adapted verse is very beautiful, because this sutra is a very unique sutra. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning comes from all the Buddhas, Sammasambuddhas. Then it is for the hearts of all sentient beings. Means everybody or sentient being can realize their Buddha nature and become Buddhas too. Then all Bodhisattvas, they also abide by this sutra. When they develop their cultivation, then its 10 great merits can nurture all living beings. So now we go into the commentaries. In the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, great magnificent Bodhisattva continued to ask the Buddha questions. World Honored One, where does this sutra come from? Where does it go? And where does it abide? Where does the sutra come from? Where does the Sutra of Infinite Meaning come from? When we study the Dhamma, we must examine its origin in order to clearly understand its meaning. Therefore, the Buddha replied, "Good man, you ask where this sutra comes from, where it goes, and where it abides. You should listen well, good man. This sutra comes from the home, the royal homes of all Sammasambuddhas, goes to where sentient beings develop bodhicitta, means the enlightenment thought. Bodhi is enlightenment, citta is the thought. So bodhicitta, then the bodhi mind is very important, bodhicitta, and abides wherever bodhisattvas practice or cultivate. The Buddha was saying that he did not create this Dhamma. It comes from the Buddha nature that exists within the Buddha of infinite worlds of the past, present, and future, and within the hearts of all living beings. Thus, the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning say, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning comes from the home of all Buddhas and goes to the hearts of all sentient beings. This sutra is meant to reach the heart of the myriads of sentient beings. When we develop bodhicitta, the bodhi mind, regardless of whether we are monastic or lay people, male or female, young or old, Buddha Dharma will always abide in our mind. The home of all Buddha is referred to their spiritual home, which is the mind, means their nature, their true nature. All principles come from the minds of all Buddhas, which means they originate from everyone's pure thought or pure nature. Thus, if we can develop bodhicitta and vow to save all sentient beings from suffering, then our mind are already abiding in the Dhamma. Means when you start to take the vow, the first bodhisattva vow, to save all sentient beings and take them all across. We are considered newly inspired bodhisattvas and will practice wherever bodhisattva practice. So this sutra abide wherever bodhisattva practice is 10 great merits, nurture all living beings. So this one is very important. The Buddha explained that practicing according to the Sutra of Infinite Meaning is like planting a field of blessings, which brings with it the 10 great merits. As long as we make good use of these methods, we can reap an abundant harvest from the fields of our mind. In addition to applying this teaching to ourselves, we can also apply them in our interactions with others, thus enabling the Dhamma to deeply enter into people's heart. This way, we can relieve people from pain and suffering, benefit others and ourselves, and nourish all sentient beings with Dhamma water. So this is very beautiful, eh? Very meaningful. Okay, we go to the next adapted verse. Everyone's mind is like a field that needs a farmer to diligently cultivate it. Every seed contains a universe within. By spreading seeds of good causes throughout the world, our faith gives rise to right Dhamma, and we can go out into the world to advance the teachings of the right path. All Buddhas abide in this world to teach the true Dhamma, which is true in words and principle, pure and undefiled. They cultivate the roots of goodness and are untainted by negative condition. They promote virtuous Dhamma and do not become indolent. Indolent means laziness. Indolent. The source of the way and of merit is right faith. That's why all spiritual cultivation start with having faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching and your own nature. In each person's mind, there is a field, and every person is the tender of their own field. As we progress from childhood to old age, the amount we harvest at each stage depends on how we manage our field. If we do not manage it well, the field of our mind will be barren and overrun by weeds with nothing to harvest. If we manage our field earnestly, then we will have beautiful harvest month after month, year after year. We refer to monastic as blessed field sanghas because they diligently cultivate this inner field. The field of the mind is also our wisdom line. If affliction arises in our mind, it is as if our mind are covered with weeds and rock, making the field dry and the soil unable to absorb enough nutrients. So we must learn to skillfully eliminate ignorant and discursive thought from our mind one by one. So this is the cultivation, to eliminate ignorant means wrong view. We have to observe, silence our mind, meditate. And through this observation, we understand and we straighten our view. Once we straighten our view, we can train this mind. Then all this discursive thinking or heedless thinking or wrong thought can be rooted out from our mind. Many years ago, in order to support themselves, the monastic of Qingshi Abbot reclaimed a piece of barren land behind Tuming Temple. Because the land had never been cultivated, it was overgrown with weeds, including nut grass. So we look at the notes. What is nut grass? Nut grass or Cypress rotundus is a species of sedge. I don't know what is that. A perennial plant, its root system form slim rhizome. Rhizome and bulb-like structure and spread underground, white and fragrant. Its leaves are narrow and linear with a shred tubular that sprout in multiple ranks. Oh, I don't understand this plant. Never mind, we just let it be. Although night grass appear to be a simple stick of grass, a stalk of grass, its undergrowth roots and rhizome are all interconnected and is spread continuously. Therefore, if we see night grass, we cannot just remove the stem and leave that and leaves that are above ground. We must crouch down and crop up all the interconnecting roots. If we do not remove the entire plant completely, it will grow back again very fast. It was very difficult to prepare this land. We have to first remove all the weeds, pick up any stone, and then turn the soil before we were able to plant peanuts. However, a few months later, when we saw the mature plants laden with pops, we were filled with unspeakable joy. So a lot of this farming, we need patience, we need understanding. Now in the vegetable gardens of the Qingshi Abbot, every piece of land is sectioned off neatly, and there are different vegetables planted in each plot. This is possible because the monastics are very mindful in cultivating the fields. They plow neatly and weed carefully, then sow seed and take care of the plants. That is why the plants can now grow so beautifully. Engaging in spiritual cultivation is just like planting a field. We are cultivating the field of the mind. As long as every single thought in our mind is wholesome seed, and is cultivated in the right way, we can reap good harvests. All plants and living things on earth are endowed with vitalities. When we sow a seed, it will grow into a plant and then produce fruits. Not only can people consume these fruits, but the seed within the fruits can also be planted again and over time continue to proliferate. Thus, one gives rise to infinity, and infinity arises from one. This is the case for the Dhamma as well. If we have the karmic condition to receive the seed of good causes and sow them in our mind, after diligent cultivation, in addition to reaping the fruits ourselves, we will also be able to sow the seed of Dhamma in other people's mind, thus continuing the Dhamma lineage. Like seeds, all things in the world contain profound truth of life. Every one of us continuously carry the seeds of karma through our lifetime as we transmigrate without ceasing. The different karma that we all have has shaped where and how we live, as well as our habitual tendency. Some achieve success while others suffer from disaster. These conditions all depend on the karma we created in the past, and the karma we create in this life will be carried into the next, leading us to continue transmigrating without ceasing. This is also why in different periods of time we see people living very different lives. Everything is shaped by the seed of karma, which goes through a continuous cycle of reproduction. Today we call this seeds genes. Scientific research has yielded the discovery that people's genes are inherited from their parents, and these genes affect their entire life. We have formed some kind of karmic connection with our parents in the past. So when certain causes and conditions converge, we were born into this world as their children. But even children born in the same parent will end up living differently or different life, which is very true. Huh? If you are observant, you can maybe witness all these things. Sometimes one child may be kind-hearted and wise, while another one may stray away from the right path and commit all kinds of wrongdoings. Although they have a karmic connection with the same parents, the nature of this affinity differs. Some children may have been born into a family to repay a kindness, while others may have come to seek revenge. Different karmic causes created in the past will naturally bring about different karmic affinity in the present and future. If you understand the law of karma, if you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you can understand what is being shared here. Personally, my nature knew all this all along, because when I go through life, I was observing why I am born into this family with this parent, and how come I have all this type of brothers and sisters, and the environment I was born into, how the condition manifests, how everything arises based on causes and conditions from the past, then how we inherit differently from our parents. So all this has a lot to do with karma, the law of karma. So this understanding is very important. In our daily life, regardless of what kind of karmic connection we have formed with people, this affinity will have a continuing effect, which is very true. Thus, if we can spread the seed of good causes throughout the world, if we can unceasingly plant these seeds and share good words and promote good teaching, then our right faith give rise to right Dhamma. With right Dhamma, we can go out into the world to advance the teachings of the right path. Not only can we take the right Dhamma into our heart, we can also teach them to others and guide them to the correct path or direction, one of the proper views and understanding, one of proper views and understanding. So all Buddhas live in this world to teach the true Dhammas. However, sentient beings are usually trapped in delusion. Even if we have heard the Dhamma, we may still not be able to understand it. So this is very true. If you don't have your parami or past cultivation, if you don't have that karmic affinity with Dhamma, even if it's spoken and taught, you cannot understand. So the Buddha tirelessly used various methods to expound the Dhamma. His goal was for everyone to clearly understand the true Dhamma and have faith that it is the unsurpassed great vehicle teachings, which are true in words and principle. So this one is very important. That's why you must persevere. You must continue to develop the faith, the sincerity, and diligently continue with your cultivation. True Dhamma is developed from the mind's pure and undefiled intrinsic nature. Pure and undefiled is the state of mind we reach after we have eliminated our ignorance or delusion or wrong view. This is our pure intrinsic nature, our true nature. To return to our pure intrinsic nature, we must first cultivate the roots of goodness and not become tainted by negative condition. So this one is very important, very true. Maybe I will explain a little bit here because the sutra didn't go into the details and explain all this. How can living beings realize their intrinsic nature, their true mind? That's why here in the sutra it says you must root out defilements, ignorance, then cultivate the roots of goodness and not become tainted by negative condition. So how do we do that? A lot of people have the misunderstanding that we are born with the Buddha nature. So we are all Buddhas, we can become Buddhas. Then the question is, if that is the case, then why bother to cultivate? Why not you just realize that and awake and become Buddhas? Then how come there is such a thing as law of karma, samsara, birth and death? If you were to observe life, inquire deep, then meditate, you understand. Because this intrinsic nature or Buddha nature or the true nature within is not something that normal people can understand. What happened is, when we are born into this world, this universe, then we arise through our karmic nature. That's why our form and mind, the vehicle and the tool when it come. This is the only tool we think, we understand and we have, and we grasp onto it. That's why we only understand the physical body and the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Then we didn't know there is another nature within. So what happened is, when you use this mind without understanding, when you rely on this mind will go defiled, become contaminated very easily. Because without the Dhamma, without the wisdom and the understanding, this mind will get itself entangled. It will grasp, it will cling, it will hold, and it will develop defilements, evil roots, roots of all evil. That's how living beings fall. That's how they get themselves entangled and develop their own delusion to cling, to grasp, to create attachment, leading to suffering, misery. And when all this happens, they do not understand what is going on because they don't have the Dhamma. They don't know this nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. So because of that, living being, generally, almost 99.999%, before they can develop the understanding to meditate, to cultivate, and to awaken to this teaching, they will be entangled. They will become heedless. They will create their own suffering and misery. That's why they are called unenlightened beings, or the Buddha called them Puttujanas. So Puttujanas are heedless living beings or sentient beings that don't have the Dhamma understanding. That's why they cannot straighten their view, they cannot free their mind. So what we are talking about is the mundane mind. That's why this mundane mind, the Buddha said, you have to be careful. Well, this one is subject to karma. This one is the forerunner of all things. When the mundane mind arise, all things arise. That's why he said, our mundane mind, mano, is the forerunner of all things. When mind arise, all things arise. That's how karma come into play. So if you use this mind with delusion, without wisdom, without the Dhamma understanding, then it will lead to downfall. It will lead to delusion. It will lead to attachment, clinging, grasping, craving, that condition, suffering, and misery. So that's how living beings become what they are. They become heedless, deluded, and they go through the karmic law. Like the Buddha's teaching, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, like just now what we share. If your mind field is without wholesomeness, means you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness that doesn't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then it will lead to the wholesome friction that will benefit you. That's why if you take care of life, life take care of you. To take care of life, you have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's how the teaching come about. The Buddha's famous advice, Dhammapada verse 183. The Buddha said, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanam etang buddhanasasana. The Buddha's meaning is, to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. All Buddha teach you the same three basic, very important advice. You can avoid all evil, you can take care of karma, because by avoiding evil, especially major evil, by keeping the five precepts, you can have good life. Because if you don't get yourself entangled with this five precepts, which constitute violating major evil, you will not have major karmic conditioning or karmic negativity that will condition your major suffering or misery. Then the second advice is, the Buddha said, cultivate wholesomeness. Kusala. Kusala means wholesomeness. Wholesome thought process. Wholesome action. Wholesome speech. Wholesome livelihood. Wholesome way of living life. So avoiding all evil and cultivate goodness or wholesomeness and virtue are the first two basic, most important advice of the Buddha to improve your life. If you don't do this, means you don't know how to take care of karma, then you will get yourself entangled. So to understand life is not difficult. When you understand this, you will go all out to cultivate these two, first two very basic but most important fundamental advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good or cultivate wholesomeness to reap the fruit of good karma. So this is what life is all about. When you understand the secret of life, you will know how to change your life, improve your life, to avoid getting yourself entangled with delusion, negativity or karma. And finally, the Buddha said, if you avoid all evil, do good, it will bring about great transformation in you. You will be able to avoid all the negativity caused by wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and karmic, all the negativity of karmic consequence. But this alone is not enough. Is it? Even if you start to do good, cultivate blessings, cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, you will have a lot of good karma, good meritorious deed, and good blessing. But as you go through life, the Buddha said, it's not about blessing, it's not about wealth, it's not about having good karma alone. Because there are many aspects of life where karma alone is not enough. Because the reality of this form and mind as we go through life is, it will go through the four-phase cycle of birth, old age, sickness and death. And these are realities of life and existence. So when you confront birth, old age, sickness and death without wisdom, without understanding, you will suffer. You will become miserable, afflicted, especially getting old. Then be diseased. Then you have to confront a lot of these so-called traumatic diseases. Then nature's disaster leading to injury, death, sickness. Then of course, finally, ultimately, is we cannot come to terms with the reality of having to die. Death is a certainty. It's a very, very difficult reality. Without the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, very few people can confront disease, sickness, and death. Even going through old age, it's not easy. So these are the first four realities. Then the Buddha said, if you live life long enough, you will have another four type of reality that can actually condition your suffering, your misery, and cause you to go through afflictions in life. What are the next four? The Buddha said, as we grew up from a baby into a child, then into a student, adult, then we go to school, have our education, then we graduate, enter the career field, the job market, then we strive in life. We have relationship. We may end up having marriage, having children, becoming parents. Then we may have our own occupation to do the things that we have to do, our duties and all those things. Some may enter politics. Some may become professional, some may become NGO to serve people. So as you grow through life, you have to encounter many things in life, in society. Entangle yourself with relationship problem, health problem. So the Buddha said, when you come out into life, you will experience the next four realities. First is separation. Separation from your loved ones. Separation from the things that you own, you hold on to dearly. And separation can occur in many ways. Sometimes relationship failure lead to separation. That's why people decide not to continue with the relationship, or they decide to have a divorce if they are married. Then sometimes it's relationship between siblings, between parents and children, between good friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters, relatives. This relationship also sometimes due to misunderstanding or argument or conflict can actually turn sour, and it can lead to separation. Sometimes separation can also occur due to maybe economic reason, because of poverty or because of war, riots, nature's disaster. So you get yourself separated from your loved ones. Then the other very traumatic one is, of course, separation to death. And death can happen in so many ways in our society. We have seen, we have witnessed our pandemic alone. Every day, the numbers are not low. The world, every day, a lot of people die because of COVID-19. Then there are a lot admitted to ICU and other things. Then apart from pandemic, we also have nature's disaster like flood, earthquake, forest fire, building collapse, tsunami, And sometimes even road accident or whatever accident, airline accident or thing, they are very common. Then we also have a lot of other things that can lead to death. Sometimes robbery, war, riot, kidnapping, then civil war. Nowadays, you can witness a lot of countries are facing internal civil war and problem. And sometimes it's instigated by other world power because of greed, selfishness, and all these things. So all this can lead to separation, to severe suffering. There is a lot of killing almost every year, Middle East, the Afghanistan now, the Taliban. Then we also have in Africa, Haiti, even South Africa, because of what happened there. There is a lot of riot going on, even now in America, the Western society. There's a lot of racist problem that give rise to all this problem. So separation causing suffering and misery is a reality. And sometimes whatever we own, our property, our wealth, things that we own and hold on tightly, which we believe belong to us. So separation can occur when we make a wrong decision, when we are not careful with our decision, especially business, investment decision, or when you commit yourself to certain type of transaction. It can be any transaction. Sometimes you can be scammed. Sometimes you can be deceived, cheated. So a lot of things can happen. Then sometimes due to economic crisis, nature's disaster, your business affected, wipe off like this pandemic, a lot of sector, travel, tourism, industry, airline, they are all victims of the pandemic. Then there are a lot of other things too can affect our society, our behavior, what we own. Then sometimes due to fire, robbery, you can lose your thing. So separation alone can give rise to a lot of traumatic happenings. So without the Dhamma, without the wisdom born of the teaching, the Buddha said we cannot cope. We cannot confront such situation. But when you have the Dhamma, when you have that wisdom as taught by this teaching, then you can be at peace no matter what happens, because you know the secret of life. Then you know how to live life. Because this teaching, the Buddha Dharma that the Buddha taught us, is so unique. It's like the secret of life. The essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths, which explain to us the secret of life. All of life, mundane and super mundane, is explained inside there. And when you understand this teaching, you understand life. Then you know how to live life. Live the Dhamma way to have the good life, the beautiful life, the meaningful life, the wonderful life, instead of deludedly get yourself entangled and develop the misery, the suffering, the affliction. Then the other realities are, apart from separation, is when you are with people whom you don't like, especially working people, career people, when you have a difficult boss, or you have difficult colleagues whom you cannot work with. A lot of CEO or bosses, they are there to perform That's why they also have their pressure. And some, they like to stress and take advantage of their staff because what they want is to be promoted, to deliver good result. So they will introduce very severe, harsh management policy. Sometimes you hear this management by fear and harassment. They put fear into their staff. Then they harass them to deliver. They squeeze them every drop, every inch. So when you have bosses that are unreasonable and difficult to satisfy or please, it will give you hell and you will not be able to have the good career. So reason why nowadays a lot of very young new graduate or working career people, they have to go through a lot of stress, a lot of fear. Then they worry so much, fear of losing the job. So they give in, they succumb, then they suppress their fear. Then when they have a lot of this fear leading to worry and anxiety, they have mental problem. They develop what we call insomnia, cannot sleep, then enter depression. So a lot of career people, they have depression. They have what we call OCD. Their thoughts are very oppressive, compulsive. It's a type of disorder. Because of fear, anxiety, and also delusion, wrong view, couldn't understand what is going on. Then after that is when you cannot get what you want. Now this is the other reality, when things don't go your way. Like a lot of people expect to be promoted, expect your parents to support you, to provide for you, to care for you, or your loved ones to understand you and all these things. But when you cannot get what you want, when these things are not happening, especially those who expect to get promotion because you think you have done well, then finally the promotion didn't occur. Somebody else become promoted. So in life, in career, there are a lot of these things happening. Then the Buddha said, finally, the last reality is, he said, whenever you deludedly grasp and cling to this human being, the five aggregates of form and mind, the physical body, the mind has four more aggregates. When you attach and cling to your feeling, your perception, your mental activity or thinking, views and opinion and conditioning and mental fear, worry, anxiety, scars of memory, and what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you feel and think, means whatever that you become conscious of. If you attach and cling onto them and grasp onto them, suffering will be the result. So that is the final summary. So without all this understanding, the Buddha say, when you confront these eight realities of life and existence, which he explained under the first noble truth of his teaching. The four noble truth is the essence of his teaching. I told you the secret of life. So the first noble truth explained to you the realities of life and existence and the prevalence of suffering. If you don't know his teaching, when you confront this eight reality, you will suffer. You will become miserable. That's why his last advice is you have to train your mind, purify your mind, meditate, silence your mind, develop mindfulness and awareness to understand all this and to awaken. Then you can accept this reality you can confront them with confidence, with understanding, and be at peace with them, that there is still joy, there is still happiness, there is still understanding. That's why the enlightened one doesn't suffer. The deluded one suffer and become miserable, afflicted. So this is the beauty of his teaching. The First Noble Truth itself reveals to you this great understanding of secret of life. Means what is life all about? The eight reality cover all aspects of life. The mundane aspect that you have to go through. Then the Second Noble Truth, under the Second Noble Truth, the Buddha explained. He said, all this suffering that arises, there is a cause behind. The cause is security, self-delusion. When you deludedly, through wrong view, through ignorance, attach and greed, and grasp onto your five aggregate of form and mind, suffering will be the result. So if you understand the cause, and you know what suffering is, you can definitely manage your life with it. You avoid the cause. Then do not grasp, do not hold, do not cling. Then this First Noble Truth reality will not hit you. But if you choose to deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, then nobody can help you. But most people become miserable is because they don't understand this teaching. They don't know the cause behind. They still blame others. Why is God so unfair? Why me? Why not others? How come the world is like that? So all this comes from ignorance, delusion, the thought that doesn't understand. People who don't have the teaching, the Dhamma. Then the Buddha didn't stop there. He moved on to his Third Noble Truth, which is the most beautiful. He said under the Third Noble Truth, suffering need not be, he said. Human being, living being need not suffer. Under this Third Noble Truth, he said, enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized before you die. Nirvana can be realized. This wisdom can be realized. You can awaken to it. And when you awaken to it, you will have no more problem with life. Means it will lead to the end of all suffering. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Do you want to have a life that is perfect, without problem, without suffering, without fear, without anxiety? Because you can understand all this through this awakening. All this teaching. So the Third Noble Truth is very powerful. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now is possible. That's why we have to meditate. We have to cultivate. We have to develop the mindfulness and the wisdom. So all these are very beautiful. Then finally, he continued with the Fourth Noble Truth. He didn't just tell you that this is possible, but never teach you how to do. Under the Fourth Noble Truth, the last of his Four Noble Truth, he said, there is a path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by him, it will lead to the end of all suffering. But this is the meditation. This is the way out of suffering. And this Noble Eightfold Path has eight noble factors, path factors, that transform an individual, a living being, from a heedless putujana into a heedful enlightened being, an arya. So that is the beauty. And to have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path is to have perfect virtue. You are incapable of evil. The advice of the Buddhas are all there. That's why these Noble Eightfold Path, they are the path to enlightenment, path to wisdom, to liberation. And when you have them, you become very virtuous. You become incapable of evil. You will have all the wisdom, the right understanding, the right view to live life, and your life is all perfect. From right view, you arise as right thought, right speech, right action, and the way you live your life in accordance with the Dhamma way, which is righteous, perfect. Then after that, you will have the four right effort to constantly cultivate and purify and improve yourself. You will transform personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise. You become totally transformed from a deluded living being, heedless living being, into an enlightened being that is heedful. The heedful never die. The heedful is constantly aware, mindful. Their mind are peaceful, tranquil, full of joy, full of understanding. There is clarity, not muddled up, no confusion, nothing. That is the meditative mind. That is the mind that has the Dhamma, the wisdom. That's why it's ever mindful, constantly meditative. It has sati and samadhi. So all the Noble Eightfold Path factors are there to make you, to transform you into a perfect human being that is wise and enlightened. So this Four Noble Truth is the secret of life. When you understand this, you know how to live the good life, the noble life, and become different. So this is the beauty of this teaching. Okay, I think we will end here. Huh? Okay, we shall now continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question or sharing that you want to have.
Yes, yes. Good evening, Bratio, Mrs. Teo.
Ah, sadhu.
Kui and all Kayanamitas. I would like to report a bit of my meditation.
Good.
Okay, a few days ago. So I woke up in the morning. So I got up, I checked the clock. It was almost five o'clock.
Sadhu.
So I went back to my bed mindfully and I lie down. So I just do meditation.
Yeah.
Because my alarm clock will ring at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I just relax myself. And I aware, you know.
Yeah, maintain awareness. Yeah.
Maintain awareness. Then so I maintain awareness, then suddenly I heard my snoring.
Oh, sadhu.
Very soft.
Mm.
Then again I maintain my awareness.
Mm.
Then again I heard my snoring again.
Mm.
After that third time, I maintain my maintenance again, my awareness again.
Good.
Again, I heard my snoring. So after that, I decided to get up.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was 5:40. Means about 40 minutes.
Yeah. Time like passed by very fast. But it's like a lot of things has happened inside because your awareness is aware of a lot of things. So after you do this, you will start to understand many things on your own. Maybe not immediate, but if you go through this training for a while, you will understand a lot of things. Maybe I will let you describe more, then after that I will guide you, Elsie. Yeah, you continue. Then what happened?
So I got up, then I feel very light, you know?
Yeah.
So after that, I went back again. So I just maintain the awareness until 6 o'clock. Then I get up. Then when I get up, I feel very light, and then very fresh.
Very fresh and light. Not like a person who just wake up, like still sleepy or groggy or what. No,
yeah.
Clarity. It's like you didn't sleep, because this awareness-based meditation is very fantastic. That clarity, that awareness, that mind is so clear. So when you wake up, it's fresh. Then that awareness is like you didn't sleep. Because when you can maintain awareness and your body relax, your physical condition is very beautiful. Your breathing, everything become very natural, very quiet. The vibration all slow down. And the mind become very quiet, very still, very tranquil. What is more important is later on, you will experience the ability to maintain this awareness for quite a while. Then when this one happens, you will be able to lengthen that stability. Then when that stability of awareness starts to lengthen, you will see a lot of things that you never see before. You see how fast the thinking or the thought want to arise. And many of the things that happen to you, you will see how you want to stir and react. Especially if you know how to relax. Sometimes it will give you that type of relaxed state that is so relaxed, the tinkling sensation all come out. It's something natural. Then sometimes it can trigger a phenomenon to come and test you, like tactile certain area, create itchiness or what. Then you see how it conditions you into having that mental intention to do something about it, to scratch and to change that feeling to some other feeling. But when you have the understanding, you can endure and find out what will happen if I don't do anything, I just let things be. That is what endurance is all about. Means I accept this reality. I do not reject the sensation like light and dislike, pleasant and light. If you don't do anything, you see what happens. It will transform, it will come to pass. Then you realize a lot of things you can actually understand and endure. Then the movement from that nature out into the thinking, the reaction, the thought process. Then sometimes when you are not mindful, not aware, the thought come in very fast. Then sometimes your senses pick up other things, like the chipping of the bird or what. Then suddenly you're aware. After you're aware, if you want to understand more, then you maintain the awareness and find out. But don't go and create thought. Don't go and create proliferation of thought. Then the other thing that you have to understand is this is the initial phase you will go through, which means you know how to relax and maintain awareness. Then suddenly you hear your own snoring. You have to find out how come it happened. How come initially it's like that? That one will give you some form of understanding. I will give you some advice first, then you find out. You don't have to believe what I say. The reason why we snore is because the mind wants to go into the unconscious really. So when it wants to lapse into the unconscious, means the sleeping mode, means it wants to go into the sleeping mode. Because you are very relaxed, very conducive for you to continue to sleep. Then if you have maintained the awareness, that is what your true mind is. That one makes a big difference. At the moment of your snoring, that snoring has a very natural sound. Come from a very relaxed body and mind. When people are very tired, they snore a lot. Because when you are very tired, you cannot control. So you snore. Whereas ours is, we maintain awareness, then the awareness hasn't become the unconscious or the subconscious. Means you are still at the threshold of the conscious level, then it is going into the subconscious and the unconscious. There is about to fall into the sleep. But because you are aware, that sound, that snore, that vibration, your hearing consciousness pick it up. That's why straight away the awareness come back. Then you have the training. Relax, maintain awareness. Not relax and sleep. Unless you are very tired, then sleep. Yeah. So relax and maintain awareness. That's why that one promised. The moment we are aware, that mindfulness come back, the awareness come back, then you continue to train. Continue to train. So initially, it can happen for many sessions like that. Yeah. But never mind, let it happen. The most important thing is the first note, you become aware. For some who don't have this training, what happened is they try to do the lying down meditation. I remember last time, Jin Hao, when they started, they snore until like the cow come home without them knowing they are snoring. It's the snoring non-stop. Means there is totally no awareness at all starting that time. Yeah. But now Jin Hao is very different. He can understand all this. He can go through all this. So during that time, it's either he was very tired, where he drives a lot, and he move around a lot. So he cannot maintain awareness during the early years, many, many years ago. So I can see him slow. Sometimes even in the lying down meditation or whatever posture that he's in, he will just knock off and slow. Yeah. And sometimes in the bus or so, people slow. But if you are a cultivator, one sound, sometimes half a sound before it continue finish, you straight away aware. So this part, listen to this again, it will help you. Then continue with that training, Elsie. Continue.
Yes.
You are doing very well. So after that, this phase will go over. It will go over. Then unless you are tired, you want to go into the sleeping mode or rest mode, the subconscious and the unconscious and sleep. If you do this training before you go and sleep, you will have very good sleep, very deep sleep, very sound sleep. Then when you wake up, it's like you didn't sleep. Fresh, clarity, because the awareness is inside there. So this type of training will stop the sankhara activity. Yeah, this one is just aware, finish, aware. Finish. So that mind of a normal living being who has no training, who is heedless, he will think a lot on. A lot of things is going on. The unfinished business, we call it. Yeah. In the normal day, when you live your life, you have a lot of unfinished business. A lot of people, before they know how to meditate and do this training, they have a lot of things they hold on to their memory. Like what they want to do, the important thing that they have to do, their problem, their unresolved issue and all those things. So this one, they keep on holding on to the memory. That's why it come out through fear, worry, anxiety. Then sometimes panic attack. And all this create thinking, thought activity. So when you don't have the understanding, the mind simply do things, become heedless, the Buddha called it. That's why he said heedlessness is the path to the dead. Where you train, your mind is heedful, the heedful never die. You will have the eternal life, means destined for enlightenment. So this is how this awareness-based meditation can transform a person, a cultivator, and make you fully aware. And when you are fully aware, most of the time, you don't think anymore. Then most cultivator, after you have done this for a while, your faith become very different, very strong. Your mind become very calm, very quiet, very still, very tranquil. And most of the time you experience just awareness without thought. That's why all this understanding will come. Then whenever you lie down to meditate or you sit or you do walking, most of the time you are aware. until your mind become very stable, then one day the mind will enter sati. Then you will experience the shift in consciousness. Means suddenly the mind become very quiet, still, like no thought. It's just aware. Then if you are at the heartbeat also will slow down until finally like no activity at all. Like everything become very quiet, very still. That's why we call it tranquility. That is the real meditation. So hopefully with this sharing, you can understand. Then from there, you continue to develop it. Elsie, sadhu to you.
Yeah, thank you. Sadhu Prati. Then actually, when I lie down, forgot to tell, when I lie down, so I felt my whole body vibrate.
Definitely. Because that is the first thing that cultivator will feel. Because that vibration arises because your mindfulness has become more stable, more refined, more sensitive. That's why you can feel that. You no need to go and like use stethoscope or what. No. You just lie down on the bed. Every part that has contact with the bed or your pillow or bed sheet or whatever, wherever you want to experience the sensation or what, you can be there. Then that vibration come out. Very clear. Then your heartbeat also. No need stethoscope. You can hear your own heartbeat. Then you can feel the vibration of every part of your body, wherever it is. That's why I normally, most of the time, I just silent everything and let it be. That's why I just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then there is the shift of consciousness will come. And when it comes, it's like that noise inside there, that sankhara, or initially is that movement of that mundane mind. Even though you have trained, initially it's still like there. Then you will come to realize if you don't do anything, it will slowly, slowly slow down, dissipate this energy, where you don't give it any more thought energy, thinking energy. That's why you have to relax and maintain awareness. Then it will take you into the sleeping mode, subconscious and the unconscious mode. But because we have awareness, the moment you want to go into the sleeping mode, the body is very intelligent. The first thing is to snore. That's why that snoring is to keep you aware again. So snoring is actually good. It's a training. It's the body's natural tendency. So if you can make use of all this to understand, then meditation becomes very meaningful. You continue. Apart from the vibration, what else?
Apart from the vibration, I relax into it. Then I just maintain my awareness. Then I aware. Then suddenly I heard my snoring.
Yeah. Let it repeat, no problem. Maintain awareness until very stable. You have to go through that phase. Then, did you experience the shift in consciousness? Like the mind? Not yet. You have to wait. It will happen. Then you will experience a lot of very beautiful meditative experience. Then only the beginning of real awareness-based meditation. Then when that one stabilized, a lot of people don't understand that awareness without thought, wherever it is, you put your mind there. Whether heartbeat or what, whatever it pick up, you stay there. A lot of things will happen. Well, that energy is very pure, no thought on, from your nature on. Then I remember a lot of byproduct, your fat, your gas, all will come out. It will come out. It will release. But when you are doing all this, unless you eat something that give you that type of fat that has some smell, otherwise it's no smell one, don't worry. Then you will release. It's like releasing the toxin, but in the form of putting out and all those things. Then later on, there are certain nadis and chakra that you need the body, which is intelligent. That's why through trust, that nature will go and release it. Then it will go and activate it. Yeah. Then sometimes it stay there. Let it stay there. Wherever it stay, you let it stay there until it become a required state. Yeah. Then wherever this awareness go, stay there. When it stay there, means it's meditating. It's doing what it need to do to actually create that what they call meditative movement. That's why it will move to different parts that need activation, that needs stability. Yeah. So all the nadis and chakra and all this area, it will move. Then it will do its work. That's why trust. The mind is not involved at all. It's just like you assume you are dead. Then let it happen. This one will come later, not so fast. The shift of consciousness comes first. Then you relax. Then stay at the heart area. It will locate initially the heartbeat. Stay there until you become very quiet. Then later on, it will locate a position which is, without you knowing it, suddenly it will melt inside. It's like a gateway. We call it a gateway. Then like Pocheng experience, it's like a tunnel open up. But all these are words, description, so you don't worry. You do, when it happens, you will know. Then all of the higher stages of awareness-based meditation, you will start to experience. So today, I make use of this condition to explain more, because I realize now more and more Kayamita can develop this style of awareness-based meditation. That's why I can share, I can go into it deeper so that people understand. Then initially is you can find out, like what I used to explain, specific phenomenal awareness means this awareness flow and move with all the specific phenomenal awareness. Means the mind is not involved. It trusts. It just move. It just move. Then it will stay. When it want to stay, it stay. When it want to do the work, it will do. This is how you can actually understand. Then you develop a lot of understanding. All this that I share with you, I understand through that meditative training in the early years. Then after that, you can also completely silence everything. Then no need to anchor anywhere. No need to be at the heartbeat or what. You just release that center. Means awareness without a center, spacious awareness. During that time, you will experience the oneness nature, your true oneness nature. But initially, you have to train until that awareness nature very stable, the shift of consciousness come, then you are just aware. Yeah. Then all these things can happen. Specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without center. Then you will experience very distant sound. Normal people cannot hear. If you want to hear, you can hear. Then like your mind is one with whole of nature. Especially at the retreat area. The insect sound, the vibration of nature, the movement of nature, everything you can feel and very sad. Then even the ants in the house or what, if you are sensitive, you can know there is movement there. There is activity there. Yeah. That's why that mind become very sensitive. Yeah. Then the whole body, wherever there is blood, there is consciousness there, you can be aware. That's why your brain, everything, you can be aware. You can know what is happening inside there. Then which part of your body is not in order or what, you will know. Yeah. That is the beauty of meditation. The sensitivity. The beautiful transformation that can happen. Okay, Elsie?
Yes, Sadhu Bratio. Yeah, another meditation actually. So another time. Mm. So when I just relax and silence myself, so I can feel that suddenly I feel that my right years, there's a little bit of pain.
Ah, then you will know. That one you may find out. You need to see doctor. You see doctor. There's something.
No, that one actually is very minor, lah. But I felt it, and after that, then suddenly I felt, my throat, a bit, got a bit of pain, and then a bit dry. Then immediately the thought just come up.
Yeah.
The thought told me, oh, I need to go. I need to have some herbal drink.
Yeah. That's why that nature will prompt you, and you will understand. Like what Jing went through, means that part is not normal, not normal. If your full body is yin yang balanced and very normal, no problem one. So whatever sign that comes, means you know you have to relax into it. Then you have to do something about it. Yeah. So sometimes you need herbal tea, or you need to see a specialist or a doctor to check the thing. Then you go and check. Or sometimes, it's okay.
Actually, it's not that really serious. After I got up, so I didn't feel anything.
Yes, I know. This is because you are more sensitive. But most of this that you locate is some of the problem that your body already has without you knowing it. Especially when people who go to, when they fell down, accident or what. Like what happened when I was young, I accidentally stepped on a banana skin, then I flipped and fell. I like somersaulted, then I fell on the back. And actually the fell was very bad. I almost smashed my sacral bone, my buttock there, that whole line. That time I was only about 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. But because I was young, still flexible, I felt the pain, very severe. Then I had to go through it. Then later on, because I was still young, so I healed. Then I forget about it. Until I graduated, then I came out to work. Then for that few years, in between, off and on, I have this problem there, like I have slipped this like that. So the position very painful. Then I learned how to relax and maintain awareness. Then later on, as I developed the meditation more and more, I silent everything. I realize the chi cannot go through there. Means I know there is a block there also. So initially, I still don't know. Well, I didn't meet somebody who can advise me or what. So what I did was, I thought I can clear it. Actually, you cannot. Even if you can clear, unless it's very minor, try not to waste your precious pure energy to clear all this. So my karma was very good. Actually, I went to Singapore to visit, invited by a Singapore spiritual kayameter. Because he liked me, he liked to discuss Dhamma with me. Then he asked us to go over because there was a very special being from China. I remember it's 1980 something. Just before 88, I think. So we were there. Then we visited him. At first, he didn't want to meet us. No, because he came from China. He got the temporary pass to come over. And then we came to know he's one of the special cultivators, special being that has psychic and all those things. His chi is very strong. He's gifted. He got this type of energy inside his body and he can deliver it through his hand. So when we went and see him, at first he was reluctant. Then my friend explained that we are cultivator. We really want to talk to him. Yeah, we heard a lot about him. Then he later on willingly opened up and meet us because I think he can feel, he can sense. Then he liked to look at me. So what happened was after he explained something which you will never understand. He said during that time in China, the communist Party of China CPC. They already have this special training for all these special people, you know. They use the word, the Cantonese word is Tak Yi Gong Lang. Mandarin is what? Te Yi Gong Lang. Means special skill, special ability. You know. And all these are the talented people with a special ability. You know. Some are born with it, some are, they develop the training after that. Then he also got one, no? So he was selected into it. No? Then he said there is a big group, and the most famous one is, he said there was one, he said very young, 20 something, before 30 years old. He can appear simultaneously at 10 to 15 cities all over China. They did an experiment on him. He was in Beijing. Then he manifests over all those places. It's like multiple body like that. So all these things were going on. Then he told us his specialty is he got this type of energy that can do a lot of things. So after that, he asked us whether we got any question or not. So I was thinking, maybe nobody asked, I asked. I said, last time when I was young, I felt, or is it my back here? I said, when I meditate, I can feel the chi is not moving. He straight away smiled. He looked at me. Okay, right. He asked me to sit on the chair. I sat on the chair, a stool. Yeah. It's about normal chair height. And he said, okay, take off your t-shirt. I didn't really take off. I just roll it up. Then I show him the palm. He said, okay. He said, silent. I know how to silent really. I know how to develop the silent mind. His hand was 2 feet away from me. He started to move and send the chi over the energy. Oh, I can feel the heat coming in. And I can feel how he cleared the thing. Within less than 3 minutes, he cleared the thing. After that, I got no more problem. That's why it's all coming. So I happened to meet this guy. Then after that, before I left, I thanked him. I said, thank you so much. And like he knew, no? He held my hand. He said, no problem. It's like, he know, meant to be, is it? It's like meant to be. So a lot of things in the spiritual field, you may not understand. But when you meet people who have that ability and understanding, they can really do a lot of things. Yeah. But I don't want to use energy for this because I don't tamper with nature unless there is condition for certain things. So this part, just to let you understand, when you meditate, when you have this ability of awareness, you are sensitive. You know which part of your body is having problem or constriction or whatever. Yeah. Like last time before my angel, my artery block, 3 months before it happened, before I self-admit through the ambulance, I felt something inside there. Then my nature told me, is it? You better go and check your artery and your heart. Then I was feeling funny from inside, tell me that. Then I inquire. I said, why? Unless something happened, why should I go? And you know what the answer come out? He said, remember your mother? At the age of 60, he got a heart attack, admitted. I see you. My elder brother also. I'm the second in the family. At the age of 60, he's elder than me by 6 years. 6 years ago, he also collapsed in the toilet and went into the specialist center also. Luckily, there was an angel doctor there who did the angel for him immediately. Otherwise, he said, cannot even wait for people to send him to Penang because the doctor said you have to do it immediately because it's very severe block. And because of these two, I agree. I say, okay, the moment I can feel the sign, I will self-admit. Then 3 months later, the sign came. Yeah. Normally, I lie down, relax, maintain awareness, I meditate. That thing like disturbing me, not severe one, very slight, but very eerie. You know, associated with deaf one, cannot play a full one. But because I can meditate, silent, and then I recovered. But that day, when the sign came, I thought I can come back from the workshop. I was there with my son. The moment I reach home, I said I will meditate and recover. Then after that, I may decide whether to call the ambulance or not. The moment I lie down, I want to meditate. Instead of going away and heal, straight away, it showed me the sign. You cannot wait again. You have to admit already. Then straight away, I came out. I told my wife, call the ambulance. Yeah. That's why I self-admit. That was in the year 2013, almost 8 years ago. So when the ambulance came, he was surprised. Huh? You boleh jalan? Because my wife and me told him it was a heart attack. Yeah. So actually, it was something I felt very mal. Then I went to the hospital. Then they did the ECG, everything. According to the doctor, he said, when you came in that instant, they did the ECG, there was an elevation. He said, you actually had a heart attack. So, but immediately after they checked me, I felt normal again. And that's why I told him, when can I be discharged? He said, no, he said, you are playing a fool with your life, is it? I said, why? He said, do you know you had a heart attack when you came in? Huh? I said, I had a heart attack. Yeah, I was still conscious. I was still aware. And I didn't know what is going on. But I know it was something disturbing. Because when I lie down to meditate, want to let it settle, the sign came, cannot, inside there. I think something must have happened. The blood inside there, some of the blood thing must have dislocated or what, and caused the blockage. Then there was an elevation. But immediately after that, when they jabbed me, I think the blood thinning out, then I felt relieved. I am okay again. Then they say, admit me for 4 days, 3 nights. That's how I went through. So all this, if you are mindful, aware, it can save your life. It can let you develop understanding. So meditation is very useful. Dhamma is very useful. So these are what happened to my own life. That's what I can share with you all. So for those who have the faith and the understanding and the interest, you should develop this understanding and find out for yourself. Then develop the ability to be aware and meditate. Okay, so Elsie, this is the added sharing. Why I say sometimes you have to find out whether minor or what, it depends. But for your case, it's definitely like what you say, very minor. But after that, you don't feel anything. Maybe the liong cha, you have to drink to soothe your throat. Sometimes it hits somewhere, the four elements, I will also know. I will know I'm about to get some sick. We call it about to sick, get sick already. I will know. Like about to catch a cold or a flu or get sick. I will know. Then I will know how to rest. Then I will recover. But what I cannot deal with is cough. Cough, very difficult, take very long. I don't know why. That one, I cannot do anything. I need to take long, so you can understand. Then something to soothe the throat. That's why at the retreat, if I talk too long, my throat will give me some form of problem. Then I will know I need to rest. That's why sometimes I ask people to help me read in the retreat, especially retreat 9 days. If I continue to speak and share, this throat cannot take it. Like Dharma class, no problem. Because every session is only 2-3 hours at the most. Even though most of the time I speak and I share, it's only 2-3 hours. Then alternate day I recover. Then 1 week is only 3 sessions. Yeah, so no problem. Okay, Elsie, anything else?
Yeah, that's about my sharing.
Ah, thank you so much. Hey, let us rejoice the Elsie's good sharing and good condition for all this sharing to be possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Ah, good evening.
Teo and Omitas.
Yeah, yeah. Sadhu.
Sadhu. 很开心 Elsie 的 progress 啊 Brother Teo 然后就是 因为今天的 sharing 是讲到是说 一亩田的耕种一亩田 然后我就想在这里 讲一下我的 我的 cultivation through 这个耕种的学习
对其实
在几年前我就搬来我的新家然后我的旧家就是后面的土地就是杂草生到很多对然后我就心想那与其让它杂草生得满满的那不如拿来耕种一来是不是为了什么而是为了隔壁家 不能有这么多野草而弄得他们不吃啊，这样就以这个心态，然后逐渐的就从这个耕种的过程，我学习到很多的就是patience and endurance 啊，还有就是因为你付出的不一定有成果，因为要需要这个天地人和一起。
对，全部那这个
condition
合合在一起，你的植物才能够很健康的成长。然后说心态，对，我的心态，而且我人的心态不能抱着，就是
negativity 啊，为什么这个这样，为什么那个这样，就是在从中你学习到很多很多的达玛的，其实。
As I live itself is the Dharma.
对，就是一次一次这样子的学习过来，就是不理解的人就会觉得啊，你干嘛要这样行啊？对，可是你，你在，对，就是可是你，他们不知道的是，因为我们在从苦中也有乐啊，就是苦中有乐，就是你金钱买不到那种乐，就是你。 来师傅讲的，你看到你的crop成长出来的，就是你看着他们成长，就好像我们从 Brother Joe 那边一步一步这样子 ，Brother Joe 带着我们成长这样子，这样子，还有就是因为路这样子过来，我觉得每一个植物，他们可以说让我知道的是每一个这个天地万物。 都有他们的神秘和奥妙在里面，就是它就是我现在每一个植物我都很用心的去 observe 它们，就是我会给他们一个生长的机会，因为他们有对，而且他们就是来有些植物哈，你随便的怎样讲啊，就是最近啦，最近我看到很多就是哇，他就是随便你带我一点点，他们就懂得怎样去攀枝去走，you know, like as if 他们也有灵性的，也有那个。对，所以这个是菩萨的那个念头
understanding 啊，他就能够看到这些。 Then develop the understanding, then 会给你 go through to experience. That's why 你这个 analogy 很好. It's just like maybe I use English first for those who don't know Mandarin.
好，谢谢。
Your old house, which you actually didn't go there and take care so often after you shift over to your new house, which is many years back. when we didn't attend to the garden, yeah, or to the field, then a lot of lalang, a lot of undergrowth, a lot of what they call messy type of weeds and plant, and it become like untidy, messy, a lot of problem. That's why your neighbor feel that should let you know, and you all should do something about it. And for you, you didn't hesitate and just tell them no problem, and you will know how to do. So when you patiently attend to it and deal with it, then you realize that place easily recover and become what it used to be again. So our mind is the same. You don't cultivate, you don't train it, you don't nurture it, then it will become messy. Weeds will take over, lalang will take over, then the whole thing is like very messy. You cannot stay there and all those things, because it is going to, like the lalang and the weeds and all those things, is going to overwhelm your garden and make it messy, untidy and all those things. So cultivation of mind is the same. That's why in our retreat, we have one analogy which was very good. Mind is like a garden. If we plant it with the seed of love, compassion, wholesomeness, kindness, understanding, then this garden will grow, will become beautiful. Yeah. But if you plant with the seed of anger, hatred, delusion, selfishness, envy, jealousy, then all this negativity of mind state will actually make the mind evil. Means the field is like full of poison. Yeah. That's why the Buddha sometimes called the three evil root, not only root of all evil, they are the three poison that can kill our karmic nature, our spiritual nature, and really make that mind lead to downfall. Yeah. So all this, the understanding will unfold, that as you cultivate the Bodhisattva way, you will know, like what you explained, everything in nature, means all the related, whatever, one wu. The Mandarin way of description is very good. All of the things that exist in nature, they are all in perfect interdependence. They have their role to play, like you mentioned. They contribute in their own way. So when you have love, when you can feel them, when you are patient with them, then they start to develop, they start to grow for the better. Because beautiful, wholesome thought will bring about wholesome consciousness. And this wholesome consciousness, which is love, compassion, understanding, kindness, will bring forth the good energy. It's just like my mother. She talked to the plant. She loved the plant and she is very sincere. She like green finger, magic hand. So whatever she touched, the garden become very beautiful. Small plot, he can turn it into a very beautiful garden. Because he stayed with my wife for more than 10 years looking after my kid. That's why we experienced all this, we saw all this. And I know your thought energy is very important. When you radiate negative energy, your whole surrounding become very negative. There is no harmony. Your neighbor also will develop the negativity of mind state. But if you have love, compassion, dhamma, wisdom, joy, and understanding, your consciousness that you radiate, the energy that you radiate, especially the metta from your heart and all those areas and all the wholesomeness, people can feel, people can sense you, and that whole area like flourish, become very beautiful. So for your case it's the same. So salute to you, Alicia. You continue. 还有什么吗?
Brother, 好像我的 new farm 那边山猪一直来玩
啊，对，
我就从中学习到忍辱，还有 compassion， 因为他们也是在
compassion， yes，
对，因为我终于知道，忍辱就是 follow me，
yeah， follow me， you have to be very patient， that's why I saw you and Freddie。Wow, you all really can have that patience, the endurance, and the love to actually develop that place. Well, when you bought, there was not much plant there. The whole area need to be rebuilt. But with your understanding and your good mindset and Freddy, the sincerity, the faith, everything, that place will become very beautiful. It's meant to be. I think that piece of land, when you ask me to go with my family to have a look, I can sense it. It's a very good piece of land. The energy there is very good. And the location also very good. Very positive, very conducive. So salute to you, huh? Alicia. So now, what have you done there?
大多数都种满了，差不多有东西。没有地方种了，可是那个山猪一直来挖，我就OK 定型，然后又再种，就是那个就是不会有那个 anger 了，起初有一点点，哎呀，哎，为什么又这样？我说 ，and then people ask me。哇，你这么好运的，为什么你那边一直有？我说我在我心里面想，这就是我的 test 啊，我的 go through 的啊。
Yes, your parents.
对，还有 video to cut the story short， 因为也吃了。我想说的是，我这一趟来人间，我会觉得不枉此行，因为我终于找到我人生的目标。
对，就是
其实我来就是来修行。
对，那个是最重要的 discovery。
对，因为以前都每天都在很 heedless 的，在那种 mindset 里面说，
very negative。
对，我到底为谁辛苦？为谁？
对。也不知道自己在 torment 自己，你 not knowing it. Because you went through that 16 years of depression is very severe. Because that time your health went down, you have gastric, you have a lot of sadness, unhappiness, and negative thought process, which you came to understand when you attend the class and you saw it for yourself, and you determined to come out of it. So.It was so beautiful, and my nature rejoices that you can just come out of it, including doing away with the medication that you get from the psychiatrist and all these things, which was so beautiful. That time you were chasing after the recording, the talk and all those things. So Sui An also developed the joy because of Alicia, he must get it out fast. So every time,before the next morning, it will be there already. So most of the time, Sui An Wan, 10 o'clock or 10:30, we finish Thursday class. I remember before midnight, most of the time it's out already. So the Kayamita find it very interesting, and all because of your good condition. Sadhu, Alicia.
是的，Brother Tio，感恩Brother Tio，感恩Brother Sui An，还有感恩太多太多的。
Yeah,
还有这个，所以世间万物我都要感恩，因为他们让我学习很多很多的。
对。
然后我
yeah.
现在好像我开始我的人生好像刚刚要开始进入那种。你要知道很多很多的事情，不是你表看的，
那个是菩萨界，
对
啊，菩萨界才能够了解万物啊，世间万物，unless you go into the Bodhisattva way type of cultivation, you will not have this wisdom and understanding to understand all this, that everything in nature, in life,They are all connected, interrelated, and they are part and parcel of our nature. When we have understanding, there is harmony. When there is lack of understanding, there is conflict, there is affliction, suffering, misery. So the Dhamma become like very, very different. It's all connected to all of nature, all of phenomena, all of entity that exists within nature. So all these are very beautiful. Then you have a lot of patience, Kanti. Then a lot of gratitude, love, compassion. 很好啊，还有一些啥的。
对，不是就我终于知道，原来把自己缩小，把自己缩得越小越小越小，
对，对，
是件非常好的事情。
对 ，Yeah, this is humility. Humility means be humble. Be a human being, humane. Humility means lower down your ego. Do not try to like take it very personal. Everything is not what you think. When you have the Dhamma, you will understand that ego is a delusion, and that form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. 它是一个因缘法。A vehicle and tool for us to come. So make use of it. Do not be deceived and deluded by it. So all this understanding, 它会现出来。Then he, as you continue to walk this beautiful Dhamma path, leading to the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, you will transform. You will become more and more beautiful.More and more unique. Sadhu, 很好啊。
Super, the Tio, 谢谢 Tio 的 guidance.
Yeah.
也谢谢 LC nominate 我，给我一个机会学习，因为我发觉到我经常跟LC 说，你的 sharing 就是从中学习，所以我很感恩这个机会给我学习。
Yeah, 对，
也谢谢大家这么细心的听我讲。So, 祝大家
平安啊，
阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today's sharing is very good. Both LC and Alicia one. LC one is meditative. Alicia one is cultivation. So these two are very beautiful. If you can develop the understanding, it will help you a lot. It will help you like progress very far. And these are the higher practice that will come about when you have developed the cultivation accordingly based on the teachings of the Buddha. Okay, I think it's getting late. We should end everything. So thank you so much to Elsie, Alicia, and all Kayamita for participating.